You have your Bibles turned with me to Matthew chapter 4 this morning as we continue to work our way through the Gospel of Matthew. Now, the book of Matthew is a book that announces the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Last Sunday morning, we considered the work of Jesus as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of heaven, and as he ministered to the needs of hurting people. In Jesus, the Gospels depict a God who is personally engaged, lovingly present, and powerfully active in our world. And this same God involves people in that same work, people just like you and me. As a result, the Bible portrays a personal God who calls us, leads us, trains us, and puts us to work in his redemptive purposes for a lost and broken world. Now, God's call may come to us as we're going about normal business, like it did for Moses in the wilderness by the burning bush. God's call may come to us in the house of God, as it did for the prophet Isaiah, who saw God high and lifted up. God's call may come to us on a road, like it did for the apostle Paul as he was on his way to Damascus. God's call may even come to us in the middle of a work day, like it did for four fishermen in Matthew chapter 4. But God calls each one of us. So what exactly is the nature of that call? Well, look with me at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. It says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." These disciples were called to an essential role in the ministry of Jesus. And though they were ordinary working people, God called them to join in his work. From their story, we discover that joining the work of Jesus involves extensive training. In the days of Jesus, discipleship under a teacher or rabbi consisted of intimate daily contact. The disciple would attach himself to his teacher, going where his teacher went in order to hear his words and see his example. Well, in much the same way, to join the work of Jesus, we're to immerse ourselves in God's instruction. As a follower of Jesus, we are to commit ourselves to disciplines that enable us to hear from him and learn from him. These disciples would spend time with Jesus. They would get to know Jesus. They would hear his words. They would see what he did. They would learn from his example. And in the same way, God calls us to be learners. That's what disciple means, a learner. Well, how do we do that today? We can't physically see or walk with Jesus, but we can definitely still spend time with him. We can spend time in prayer, in study of and meditation on the scriptures. Yes, we too can listen to and learn from Jesus. Jesus calls us with those same words, "Follow me." And that call involves listening to his teaching and considering his example. And we desperately need a renewal of Christian training in our world today. Many who claim to follow Jesus demonstrate little awareness of his teaching or example. Too often we're led astray by the values and priorities of this world, or we're deceived by a distorted religion that's concealed by a pious appearance. We're susceptible to both because we have not trained ourselves by the teaching and example of Jesus. I read a story about a man who bet another man that second man couldn't recite the Lord's Prayer from memory. After taking the bet, the second man began, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." The first man looked down, shook his head, took a 10 from his wallet and handed it to him, said, "I didn't think you could do it." Oh. You know, the Bible may be the best-selling book of all time, but it is also the most neglected. And the temptation to worldliness and the danger of religious deception will continue as long as we neglect God's instruction. As a result, the extensive training of a disciple involves immersing ourselves in God's instruction. And to join the work of Jesus, we're to apply ourselves to understanding Jesus' example. Man, what an opportunity these men had to walk with and learn from Jesus. They were able to witness his encounters with those in need, to see how he dealt with issues, and to discover his great love for people. And because of the written Gospels, we have very much the same opportunity as those disciples. Because we can see what Jesus did. We can dive into his word and place ourselves in that story, learning principles for our own lives from his activities and example. The Gospels are easy. We don't have to have a great deal of expertise to think about what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing in the text. All we need to do is to consider the actions and words of Jesus, the circumstances he faced, the people he encountered, and then draw parallels for our own lives. See, the call of Christ invites us to attach ourselves to Jesus so that we learn from his teaching, his example, and his leading. You know, as I look out across the congregation this morning, I don't pretend to know your level of commitment in this area. But I can tell you one thing. Sunday morning worship a few times a month does not make us a disciple of Jesus. The call of Christ is not to casual observation. It's not to occasional participation. The summons of Christ is to join his work through extensive training. Training that shapes us, informs us, and leads us in participating in his work. And joining the work of Jesus involves active participation. We're not called to be mere spectators of Jesus and his work. We're called not merely to listen and to learn. We're called to have an active part in what God is doing in this world. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." These words indicate that following Jesus will inevitably bring about a change in who we are and what we do. Jesus makes us something new. He initiates a shared ministry in which every person he calls becomes partners with him in his redemptive work. This means we're to share Jesus' concern for people. You know, the passion of Jesus was and is people. When Jesus spoke of a harvest, He spoke of a human harvest. When he mentioned sheep, he envisioned people in need of a shepherd. When he saw men fishing, he proposed that they become fishers of people. If we walk with and learn from Jesus, we'll come to increasingly share his perspective toward and passion for people. It's then that we recognize that our call is for the sake of others, that we're called for the benefit of others. And yet it is far too easy for those who claim the name Christian to drift into a very selfish perspective regarding what that means. We may be tempted to think that Jesus calls us primarily for our own salvation and benefit. In such a case, the self-centeredness of our former life is not changed. It merely takes on religious-sounding form in which we relish the idea that we are the great recipients of God's salvation. But the biblical relationship between God and his people is much different. If God calls us, it is not primarily for our own benefit. It is for the purpose of drawing others to himself, like a ripple effect. That was the great misunderstanding of God's people in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, far too many people failed to grasp that they were not called primarily to receive God's blessings. They were called to be transmitters of God's blessings to the rest of the world. In this passage, these simple fishermen were not called primarily for their own salvation. They were called for the salvation of others, that they might be fishers of men. And as we understand that, we're to then participate in God's activity on behalf of people. These fishermen would be partners in the work of Jesus. They would have a new concern. They would have a new business. They would become fishers of men. Now, Jesus here is not describing anything deceptive or harmful, as is often the case in our understanding of fishing with lures and hooks. Rather, he's comparing a fisherman's task of gathering fish from the sea with a net to the task of disciples gathering others who will follow the Lord in committed obedience. Those who respond to God's call have the awesome task of making God known, of becoming God's messengers to a lost world, of bringing others to the Father. Our business is to cast the net that we might draw others after Jesus. My dad loved to fish like nobody I'd ever seen. And I mean, he could spend all day long on a lake, whether they're biting or not. And I went with him a number of times. And when I did, I found out that fishing demands time, effort, patience, perseverance, knowledge, practice, and skill. Well, so does participating in God's work. Requires all of those things. Now, these men in the passage, they were still fishermen with their background and experience. And they would continue to do some fishing from time to time in the gospel story. But from this time forward, their experience, their time, and their possessions would be used in service of Jesus. And notice that Jesus did not call these men to a life of ease and personal satisfaction, but to a life of surrendered commitment. It would mean lifelong training and engagement in the work. We're not called merely for our own benefit. We're called to give ourselves and our energies for the glory of God and the good of others. We're called to walk with him, to learn from Him, to be changed by Him, to partner with Him in any and every way we can. Because joining the work of Jesus involves active participation. And joining the work of Jesus demands a decisive response. Now, these men lived in a religious culture. They likely counted themselves among God's chosen people. They probably attended the synagogue and had been to the temple. But the call from Jesus was to more than mere respectable religiosity or familiarity. The call of Jesus was to know Him personally, to follow Him passionately, to serve Him selflessly with all their hearts and their lives. That kind of call, that kind of invitation demanded a decisive response. The men had a decision to make. They had to choose between the life they had always lived and the new life and possibilities of walking with Jesus. It's a reminder that Jesus' work demands an urgent response. And verse 20 tells us that Simon and Andrew left immediately. I mean, they were in the process of casting their nets. And they left. Verse 22 tells us that James and John left immediately. They were in the boat mending their nets. And they dropped them and followed Jesus. Verse 22 makes clear the abandonment required to follow Jesus. They left their boat and their father. Too often we procrastinate. We make excuses so that nothing in our lives change. We have no new experiences. We have no evident growth and commitment. We have no new direction. Put yourself in their shoes. How do you think you would have responded to God's call? What would have been your concern? Would you have been concerned about the business? Would you have made excuses why it just wasn't a good time? Would you have been concerned about what you were asked to give up? The changes that would have been required? Would you have passed up this chance? Or would you have left all to follow Jesus? Well, what are your concerns this morning? What keeps you from following after Jesus? From joining in His work? Matthew emphasizes here the decisive response of these disciples whom Jesus called. And Jesus' work demands a life-changing response. God's call does not allow us to go back to what we've always been and do what we've always done. Without hesitation or apology, Jesus calls us to follow Him in life-altering commitment. I mean, after all, we know more of the story than they did. We know that Jesus has given Himself to us in a radical way, even to the point of death on the cross in our place. We know He offered more than a good example and lofty teaching. We know He offered Himself that we might be saved. As a result, He demands more than casual interest or affirmation. He asks that we follow Him in life commitment. This morning, have you made that commitment? Have you responded to His call? Because this morning, God is calling each one of us to follow after Him, to walk with Him, to learn of Him, to join with Him in His great and ongoing work. Perhaps this morning, He's calling you for the first time to follow after Him in faith, to acknowledge what He's done for you, and to pledge yourself to Him in response. to say, God, I want to follow you. I want to learn of you. I want to be used of you. Or perhaps you're here this morning, you're a person of faith, but God is calling you to some kind of vocational service. To say, I've been a part of church, I've been engaged in doing some service, but God has something else for me, something full-time, something to give my life to. Or perhaps you're here this morning, God is calling you to serve in your current situation. As you look around where you work or in your family or where you go to school, you see needs all around you, and God is saying, you have a mission field, open your eyes. Look to be used of me where I've put you. Grow in me. Commit to serve me. And watch how I'll use you. You see, no matter who we are or where we are, God is calling each of us to join his work through extensive and ongoing training as well as active participation. We're called to growth and to service. This morning, have you decided to follow him? Jesus' call to these fishermen reminds us that what God needs is ordinary, simple men and women who will follow him, who will be changed by him, and who will join him in his work. I like what William Barclay has written. He wrote, it was as if Jesus said, give me 12 ordinary men, and with them, if they will give themselves to me, I will change the world. Well, God is continuing to work to change the world. The question is, are we going to be a part of that? Are we going to allow him to change us and use us to impact others? This morning, God is seeking to touch your heart. God is extending to you his call to follow after him, to join him in his ongoing work that others might be touched through you. This morning, will you respond decisively, immediately, and without reservation? Will you commit yourself to following after Jesus? And if you're a follower of Jesus, will you endeavor to grow in learning from Jesus, in participating with Jesus, in seizing this moment to join in his work? Perhaps this morning as a person of faith, God is calling you to renewal. Remember what it's about, the Christian life and growing in personal relationship with Jesus. Learning more about him and following after him, doing as he's done. And as we're changed in that way, we'll increasingly be used by him. Or perhaps you're here this morning and God is leading you to join with this church family as a place for continued training, where we continue to be shaped and formed by his word in fellowship with one another, and where we join together in service in the ongoing work of Jesus. However God may be leading you to respond this morning, whether there in your pew or here at the front, I invite you to do so. John's going to come and lead us in our hymn of invitation. Would you stand together as we sing hymn number 294, Have Thine Own Way.